Welcome back to Open Line. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Fred Angeli. This hour we're talking about foster care, in particular aging out of foster care. You know, foster care is where natural parents are unable to care for kids, so the state places children in foster with foster families who promise to use a stipend from the state to care for the children, to provide a safe home, and to do things like make sure they get to school. But, you know, a funny thing happens to foster kids. They tend to grow up. So then what? That's the question we'll dive into during this hour of Open Line with our guests. Eileen McCaffrey, she's the executive director of the Orphan Foundation of America, a group that helps foster kids as they are aging out. Welcome, Eileen.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. We have Samuel Jackson. He is 20 years old from Columbus, graduated foster child, correct, Samuel?
Yeah, I aged out at 18.
Great. And we have Jenny Glover, also who was in foster care in Florida, New York, and in Ohio.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, all of you, for coming here. We want to hear from you if you have a question or a comment, especially if you have had any personal experience with the foster care system here in Ohio or in other states. Give us a ring. Our phone number is 292-8513, 292-8513, or you can email us at openline@wosu.org. Samuel, let's start with you. You were in foster care for much of your childhood, correct? From age eight on, I guess?
I entered foster care in 1994 and again in 2000. Mm-hmm. I lived with aunts in four different foster homes. Mm-hmm. And I went to 12 different schools over the period of that time.
What's it like? So you're depending on these families, and it's been a very, you know, you're in different homes at different periods. It has to be very disruptive as a child anyway, growing up in this.
Well, I was always very reserved, and I guess, like, mm-hmm. moving from place to place sort of helped me stay that way.
Mm-hmm. You went to 15 schools.
12.
12 schools, okay. Just changing schools. I mean, you think about your worst nightmare as a kid is you have a group of friends.
Yeah.
And then you all of a sudden get uprooted, and then you have to go to a new school. I mean, a lot of families do it because of, you know, they move or they change jobs and things like this. But this happened to you 12 different times. What was that like?
It was pretty bad. You know, you develop friendships and you leave them and mm-hmm. have to develop new friends continuously over, you know, half a year.
Jenny, you were in foster care quite a bit during your
yes.
childhood as well, mm-hmm. in three different states.
Yes.
Describe your experiences.
My experience, you know, when you talk about changing schools and so forth, prior to being in foster care, I was also my stepfather was in the Marines, mm-hmm. so he moved a lot there as well. But the changing schools aspect, it really taught me to be very adaptable to situations. And as hard and, you know, rough and as many tears as I cried, those experiences really molded who I am today.
Mm-hmm. Aging out, was that harder when you leave the system? You turn 18, all of a sudden you're sprung out. Was that harder than what you faced as a child?
I think it depends on what aspect you're really talking about. My situation is a little bit different because I graduated high school when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So my aging out process began 2 years earlier than, mm-hmm. you know, the average foster student or foster child. I just entered a situation where my life was becoming comfortable, and then I graduate high school and have to start all over. So I was very young. Fortunately, there was something inside of me that had a willpower to, you know, be successful, and I had support, you know, from OFA mm-hmm. and my mentors through that organization who really held my hand through a lot of things mm-hmm. that I needed through the transitional phase.
The OFA is the Orphan Foundation of America.
Yes.
They're based in Washington, D.C. Eileen McCaffrey. Children who age out of foster care face a tremendous amount of difficulty.
It's a challenge I think most of us can't possibly imagine. Not only have they had the constant changes and uprooting and the inconsistencies that most of us, that really shape most of us, but then overnight, they're an adult. Uh-huh. They have to feed, clothe, shelter themselves, have medical insurance, and make decisions that will affect the rest of their life. What kind of education? How are they going to pay for it? Where are they going to live? 18-year-olds are not equipped to do that.
60%, according to a study by the Boston Foundation, from June of 2008, 60% of youth who aged out in 2005 suffered depression. 60%, 6 out of 10. Is that something?
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's just, I mean, you're just basically...
It's almost, without a positive support system, you are thrown to the wolves. A lot of foster youth don't acquire those skills, you know, life skills that are necessary to begin to develop as an adult. A lot of foster youth that, you know, I still keep in contact with, maybe they're 25, 26, 27, there are still skills that they're lacking, and they almost revert back to childhood. So without, you know, community supports and stuff, I think people suffer tougher times.
Samuel, just to walk us through it. I mean, how does this, what happens? You turn 18, they say happy birthday, and they show you the door. I mean, what happens?
Well, when you're in high school, there's a little thing called senioritis.
Yeah.
And you develop this amazing amount of anxiety, and it builds up and just shuts you down. And like she said, it makes you become like a child again. I had a cousin, actually, who he was in high school, and he failed the 12th grade so he could stay in high school so that they could so he have a place to go when he was 19.
So walk us through that age from, like, say, 17 to 18. Did you know you were going to be aging out of the system and on your own, and what kind of thoughts went through your mind? How did you prepare for it?
You have no idea, like, what to do or who to go for help and support. You're like, you're lost. No parents. No.
So what happened? You got an apartment. You moved in with somebody else. I mean, what happened?
Well, luckily, my foster
parent.
Foster family.
Yeah. No.
Social worker.
Yeah. Right. Her supervisor told me about OFA.
Uh huh.
And I was able to get in contact with them, and they helped me.
So, Eileen, what happens to most children who age out?
You know, it's really a mixed bag. Some young people develop relationships, and they have bonded with their foster family, and they remain very close to them, and that's their support systems. Mm-hmm. Others have biological families that they go back to for the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Some are very resilient, and they are able to take advantage of opportunities, and while they're too young and they really struggle, they will stumble through 18, 19 years old. But Samuel just mentioned something that's really important for your listeners to think about, the stress of knowing that you're going to be out in a year or so. Nervous breakdowns are quite common in that 18-year-old. Or, well, I'm going to be on my own anyways, so what the heck? And they just throw it away. They just run away because they are children. So the effects of trauma affect everyone differently. But some of what these young people have said are very, very true, that the stresses really cause young people. It's like PTSD. It's a constant. They've got these voids in their lives. They've been traumatized over and over again. And then they have this fear of what's next. What's going to become of me?
And it's very unpredictable. And, you know, personally, my experience, I can tell you that when the transitioning phase began in my life and I started thinking about it, it honestly felt as though I was taking a trip over Niagara Falls, because you know that people have done it, but you know how dangerous it is and what's at the bottom. At some point, I mean, I can honestly tell you that I looked in the mirror and said it'd probably be easier for me to just throw it away, because I'm probably going to fail anyway. I don't even know what's expected of me. And it was a very tough time. I mean, you are young, 18, you know, legally you're an adult, but you need so much guidance. I had no idea how to fill out financial aid forms and, you know, pay bills and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You stumble a lot.
The foster families, what happens to the foster families? They lose the help they're receiving once the child turns 18, correct?
That's right. Although I want your listeners to understand, Ohio and all the states have really become, over the last 10 years or so, there's been a growing awareness about the consequences of these young people falling through the cracks. Mm-hmm. So the state is really working to put programs in place to help young people transition. Are they where they should be? Not yet, but there is real movement and commitment at the state so that if you were to, we were to have this dialogue in 3 years, hopefully the young people sitting at this table would not have felt as alone as these two did. But today, this is the experience of many young people. They do age out. They, the foster families, and many, many of these families are wonderful people,
yeah.
And they're very committed. But they then take in another child because children need homes. But also a lot of our kids, especially older young people, they live in group homes. They don't have foster families. There's a shortage of families. So particularly in your urban centers, they live in group homes.
That's where, like, for, if you're with a family, I mean, most foster families are not just going to kick somebody out on their 18th birthday. They're going to try to help them make this transition. You might help them with a financial aid form, especially if they've had another child that has gone through it. But it's the group homes where it's tougher to do that. It's tougher to get that one-on-one connection.
Because you are just a number in a lot of those places. There's so much turnover there, you know, with children going in and out and moving from place to place. You don't necessarily build those bonds, you know, with the staff. I mean, I don't want to, you know, paint the ugliest picture. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of positive things that come out of those situations. Mm-hmm. But what would you rather have, you know?
Be in a stable home setting or with a dormitory type facility.
Right.
292-8513, 292-8513 is our phone number. You can also email us at openline@wosu.org. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Fred Anderle. This hour we're talking about aging out of the foster care system. Our guests are Jenny Glover and Samuel Jackson, two former foster children who have aged out of the system, and also Eileen McCaffrey. She is with the Orphan Foundation of America, an organization that helps foster children make the adjustment from foster care, being a child, to becoming self-sufficient adults. 8% in this study, 8% of foster children have been incarcerated. That's an extraordinary number, Eileen, when you look at that. What happens to these children?
Well, you know, a little of that is you're in one system today, another tomorrow. Some of what young people do, if they had a family, they would take them home and they get a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. If you live in a group home and there's some sort of a legal situation, you have to be moved out of that program because you can't be in that home anymore. Subsequently, they just put you in another system. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
the number might be a little misleading.
It's not so much the number is misleading, but also the way we do this. We had a young man that I've known very, very well for many years. He went back to the last place he lived to get things that belonged to him. They were the few treasures he had. And they wouldn't give them to him. Well, he made a very bad decision. He broke in. Mm-hmm. He took his own things. He's now a felon.
Yeah.
You know, it actually was reduced down. But the point was, it shouldn't have happened that way. So it's a lot about is labeling. And, you know, Jenny said something that I think we have to stress. It's not that there are good guys and bad guys. There aren't. It's that systems can't really raise children. Only people can. Communities. So foster families, while they may not, or even group homes, and there are some fabulous programs. There's wonderful people involved in this. They need more help. We need more community involvement. We shouldn't leave the raising of children up to one small subset. When the state takes custody of a child, they're everyone's child. And that's what we really should talk about is more involvement.
Yeah. 292-8513, 292-8513, if you'd like to chime in on our discussion about aging out of foster care here on Open Line on WOSU 820. Samuel Jackson, a former foster child. What was your first experience on your own? Describe what that was like after your – was it after you graduated from high school?
Yeah, when I was 18. Mm-hmm. The very day of my birthday, actually.
You graduated on your birthday?
No. I became emancipated after my birthday.
Emancipated. Why do you use that word?
I don't know. It sounds better. my mom actually picked me up and took me to her home, and I lived with her for a few you know, a little time. And then I...
This was your biological mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I moved with my brother and his girlfriend and then my uncle, mm-hmm. where I currently stay. He was gracious enough to let me stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you feel homeless. It's terrible.
Did you have a job? Were you looking for a job at the time?
No, I found a job when I lived with my uncle, but I didn't have a job in between that time.
So it was almost like you were back in foster care, bouncing from home to home.
Pretty
again.
Much, yeah. Yeah.
What kind of? I mean, it had to be. I mean, were you depressed? Did you feel? Were you glad to be out of the system?
Yeah, I wasn't really depressed though. Uh-huh. I wouldn't say that, but yeah, I was happy to be out and be on my own, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't really stable yet.
Mm-hmm. How did you compare? You had friends who were in different situations than you who were not in foster care. When you saw what they were going through during this period, where you were going from your mom's house to your brother's house, right, and then to your uncle's house, how was your experience different from theirs as you hung out with them?
Well, as you can imagine, they have parents yeah. and very stable lives, so mm-hmm. they have great support systems. And I don't. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so great that we have, like, third-party organizations like OFA mm-hmm. to help us with that financial and emotional support mm-hmm. to help us grow and remain sane, I guess.
Yeah. It's tough to do. I mean, you're going from this system where it's like when you're 18, it's tough no matter what. I mean, you're graduating from high school. You're either facing the college, the work world, or sometimes the military. But that's coming from a stable home, right. And you can lose your mind.
That's right.
And then when you're coming from a foster care system, when you've been in several homes, gone to 12 to 15 schools through your academic career, it's got to be an incredible adjustment.
Right. Well, people go, it's hard to understand this, but foster youth are so used to living in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's just getting through today. It's getting through this week. It's where will I be? That to really do the work around planning for a future and not living in constant chaos. It's this question, like, how good can my life get? And sometimes we see young people, they're on track, they're doing really well, and then all of a sudden something throws them, and they don't have the abilities at this point to move around them and over them and through them. It stops them, and it's just chaos again. So I think those are the real concerns that this, you know, couch surfing does. It doesn't allow them to be at peace and think forward.
292-8513, 292-8513, if you'd like to join in our discussion. Jenny, what was your – did you consider it to be an emancipation, as Samuel did?
I consider it to be breaking free.
Uh-huh.
I was fortunate. I lived with an aunt prior to going to college mm-hmm. after my experiences in, you know, group foster homes and that sort of thing. But still a very different scenario. I moved right on campus, so a month after my 17th birthday, I went to college and mm-hmm. lived on campus. But still, you know, you experience a lot of really crazy things when you're a freshman in college mm-hmm. anyway, but you push forward.
That's a difference that foster children have from non-foster children. Even when you turn 18, you go off to college, you come home for the summer.
Right.
You come home for Christmas break. You flunk out or you don't like college, you have a place to go in most cases. You can come back to mom and dad's house. Foster kids don't have that a lot of times.
It's not even just so much as, you know, those things, mm-hmm. you know, not having A, B, and C, mm-hmm. but it's not having someone to celebrate your successes with either, because mm-hmm. we do have a lot of accomplishments that are very meaningful to us. But just as any person wants to be celebrated with more than just yourself. Mm-hmm. So for me, at least personally, you know, that had a huge impact.
Mm-hmm. 292-8513, 292-8513. Let's go to the phones. And Brian, you are on the air with our guests, Jenny Glover, Samuel Jackson, two former foster children, and Eileen McCaffrey from the Orphan Foundation of America, a group that helps children as they age out of foster care. Go ahead, Brian.
I just wanted to talk about if peer mentoring or any mentoring opportunities would have been helpful, and whether or not you had the opportunity to take advantage of any kind of mentoring experience.
Samuel, did you have any peers that helped you out as you did this?
Oh, there were a lot of mentors to help us, but going back to the reserve quality that I talked about earlier, like about 99% of foster parents do it for the money, I'm guessing, and you don't trust anyone. So the mentoring, it didn't help me, but it probably would help other kids.
How about you, Jenny? Did you have any other former foster kids or folks you came along with that could help you?
I didn't have any other foster youth per se, but you know, I had a good group of friends through high school. I went to a very small high school, so the community was small. So, but then also, you know, once you break through and you get to college, OFA does have a program, a mentoring program that you are actually matched up with someone. And I'm very fortunate. Mine is one of the best. And I'm 25 years old. I just completed my master's degree, and she's still a part of my life. So I was very blessed in that area.
Eileen, describe that mentoring program. What are you trying to do with that?
Our mentoring program, it's a virtual mentoring program. So people connect with their mentee online. And the important thing there is that it allows a relationship to really develop. And regardless of job changes or, you know, new responsibilities, the mentor can make a true commitment to this young person. But they're also really trained to mentor. And so often we're overusing the term mentor in general in the public. Someone who goes and maybe goes to a basketball game with kids on a Friday night and then goes and has pizza, it's not a mentor. And so we have to really make sure that when we talk about mentoring, it's goal-oriented. And that's what our program does. It connects people. People make a 2-year commitment. And all of our mentoring relationships last many years.
Sam, you're looking for somebody more than just someone to hang out with at a basketball game. When you're talking about a mentor, someone to help you guide your way through this.
Yeah, and I just want to say that the mentors, the OFA mentors are much better. They, since they're a third party and they're not affiliated with the actual foster care.
The foster care system. Any other questions or comment, Brian?
Sure. If I could ask one more question.
Sure, by all means.
I'd like to know if they were speaking to Governor Strickland right now, what recommendations would they make to improve the experience of youth who are transitioning out of foster care?
If you were to speak with the governor, what's tops on your list? What needs to be done to help folks who are in the situation you were in?
Tuition waivers. That's a big piece. I know that the state of Ohio has recently begun some legislative summits. I know there's different workshops that I learned about yesterday that are going on across Ohio. But to really focus on that, because there are a lot of incidentals that we have to pay for that, you know, aren't taken into account and so forth. But in addition to that, you know, truly, just to encourage people to be involved, there's numerous things that you can do at a community level, you know, that stems from your governor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just know that there are foster youth out here, and we are capable, but we need a level playing field. You know, don't throw us away because of stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. So, how about Samuel? What would you ask the governor? What would you tell the governor?
I don't know. I guess
tuition help.
Yeah, that's a big help.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, Governor Strickland has asked. He's very. It's one of his top priorities. Is education across the board for all citizens in Ohio. Mm-hmm. But he's absolutely identified the whole issue of aging out and has put his ODJFS is really looking at, you know, services. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty proactive state government. And, you know, we work with many states across the country, and we're very excited about the momentum right now in Ohio.
Okay. 292-8513, 292-8513, if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question of our guests. We're speaking with Jenny Glover and Samuel Jackson, two graduates, so to speak, emancipated, freed. former foster children, and Eileen McCaffrey. She's the executive director of the Orphan Foundation of America. We're talking about aging out of foster care. We'll continue our discussion when Open Line continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Next. time on Day to Day. You never know who you'll meet at New Jersey's Gunnison Beach.
When you're not wearing clothes, it's a tremendous equalizer.
But the booming popularity of this clothing optional paradise has a downside.
Publicity brings a lot of gawkers. People want to make my lifestyle their source of entertainment for the day.
Exposure that some can do without.
Get a room.
Next time on Day to Day.
Day to Day begins in 30 minutes starting at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning. I'm Amy Jarovich. Thanks for joining us for Open Line this morning. It is 82 degrees at 11:31. WOSU Public Media presents Jazzu's Big Band Bash, featuring Helen Welsh with the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. Come swing and dance to the biggest hits from Glenn Miller, Benny Goodman, Duke Ellington, and Louis Armstrong, and the big band era. Friday, July 25th at 8 p.m. This Friday at 8 p.m. at the Columbus Zoo. For more information, visit jazzartsgroup.org. Don't forget, you can now get all the day's news from All Things Considered and the business news from Marketplace. Now on WOSU 89.7 FM. Weekdays from 4 until 7 o'clock.
Support for WOSU comes from the Donald R. Glancy Endowed Fund, a legacy of commitment to great programming on WOSU Public Media.
Welcome back to Open Line. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Fred Anderle this morning. We're talking about aging out of the foster care system. We hear a lot about the foster care system, but a lot of times we don't hear about what happens to the children once they turn 18 and the struggles they face after a childhood of instability and foster care. They're on their own, and that obviously it's hurdles for any child, and it's especially tough for foster children. Our guests are Jenny Glover and Samuel Jackson, two Ohioans who are former foster children, and Eileen McCaffrey. She's the executive director of the OFA, the Orphan Foundation of America, a group that helps children age out, helps them make that transition from foster care to the adult world. Eileen, should there be a foster care system for kids over 18? Not kids, but young adults at 18?
Young people, there is states can extend benefits to 21.
Okay.
And yes, they should. Period.
To help them make that transition.
That's right.
Do they have to be enrolled in college, or is it what are the requirements for these states that have this extended to age 21?
It is always for those young people who are enrolled in some sort of post-secondary college or vocational training program. Mm-hmm. And what we think is it should be all young people. And it needs to be very stepped. At that point, they need these young people are great examples. They wanted to be independent.
Yeah.
So it needs to be a gradual. They need to be heading towards full adulthood. So the support should be there, maybe a stipend to help them pay their rent. A lot more support services, a lot more guidance around making choices, but also the emergency piece. Mm-hmm. You know, who's there to help them pick up the pieces if a car breaks down? Hot water heater goes out. You know, there's all sorts of little things that derail people, and that's where there needs to be some extended foster care support.
Looking at the brochure, I think it was from the state of Ohio, and it was sort of a handbook, a brochure on how to help kids age out, and they talk about how children are eligible for food stamps and eligible for Medicaid as far as their insurance, and that can't be that just for someone who has come from a fairly stable, say you were in a foster home that was stable, all of a sudden say I got to go on food stamps. I mean that can't be encouraging.
Well, I guess it depends on your interpretation.
Yeah.
When you go from nothing,
yeah.
You know, I mean that's better than nothing, and mm-hmm. you know. I don't want, you know, listeners to get the wrong impression and think that, you know, we as young adults shouldn't be held to the same expectation and, you know, have part-time
sure.
jobs and that sort of thing. But when you talk about different social systems that are available to us, like the extended Medicaid program in the state of Ohio to mm-hmm. the age of 21, I believe it's called Healthy Start
mm-hmm.
Or Health First, something like that. And then I was never aware of any food stamp program, but I can tell you that if I was – I would have embraced it mm-hmm. because there were so many times. I mean, I ate peanut butter and jelly like you wouldn't believe, you know.
I think that's I think Jenny's right. It's that's what a parent would do, send a little bit of money for those things.
Yeah.
And it's just supposed to be a temporary situation as they're moving forward. And the Medicaid piece is huge. Mm-hmm. It is one of the best things that Ohio has done.
Uh-huh.
We want all states to do it because young people do need – they need to get to the dentist. It's too much for them to assume all of that responsibility.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, my name is Joe Bowman. I'm with the Ohio Association of Child Caring Agencies, and I was just listening to Jenny talk about the legislative summits and legislative forums. And I just wanted to invite listeners, if they're interested in participating in any of the independent living legislative forums, they could go to our website at oacca.org, and the information is right on the front page of the website. Also, information on our Ohio Independent Living Summit coming up this fall. Here's information on that as well.
We'll put those links on our website as well, woosu.org/openline, for folks who are looking for more information on how they can help or how they can take advantage of these services.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. 292-8513, 292-8513, if you'd like to join in our discussion. We also have emails, and you can email us at openline@woosu.org. So there is some help out there to help these kids transition from foster care to adulthood. Scholarship money is out there. Mm-hmm. The state is offering some college scholarships. Are there enough?
That's right. The state offers up to $5,000 per young person for college or vocational school, and that's really important mm-hmm. that we get the message out to kids. Mm-hmm. There's private scholarships. There's the ORF Foundation of America grants scholarships, mm-hmm. and we work with about 400 young people, mm-hmm. and that includes those state grants and then our private dollars.
There's a lot of attention. I mean, the media pays a lot of attention to foster care and, of course, the things that go wrong with foster care and the number of kids versus the too few number of parents. And we tend to focus in on, you know, birth to age 18. Mm-hmm. What can the state do to get the word out? Do these families know enough? Samuel, the situations you were in, do they know enough about these scholarships and the aid and the Medicaid program that would allow you to be did you have any clue about this when you were in foster
Not
care?
Not at all, until like a year before I aged out. Mm-hmm. I was told about it.
Who told you? Was it a social worker or was it what somebody?
Social worker's supervisor told me about it.
Uh-huh. So you didn't know prior to that?
No.
I think it's such an ironic thing. I'm a special education teacher, and I know for students that I've worked with that are, you know, nearing their end of their high school career, with the IEP, they have a transition statement. And that statement is there to, you know, ensure that future plans are in place for a student. Well, I believe that something like that needs to be in place for foster youth. We need the same opportunity to transition. So I don't know, you know, if necessarily something statewide, district-wide, you know, school-wide. But I think that's a great opportunity, you know, especially school counselors to have that information about resources that are available because you don't know. As a matter of fact, when I received my scholarship from OFA, I went to the financial aid office at my college and I said, listen, how am I going to pay for school? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. Fortunately, you know, as fate had it, I worked with a financial aid counselor that did research after research. OFA was much smaller when I started college. Mm-hmm. And he actually found this organization for me and I spread the word.
Mm-hmm. Some of that, the fact that Ohio is being more proactive, one of the things they're working on, the American Bar Association is developing a handbook for foster youth. Ohio is a county-administered state.
Yeah.
So services vary from county to county. And that's why someone in one county may be aware of opportunities more so than another. And I think the state's really working at that model and trying to make it a little more even across the state. And what they're doing really needs to be applauded, and there needs to be more interest from the general public, from educators, from, you know, the faith-based community. I mean, people have to start asking questions and not in a – they need to say, how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are their needs versus this is wrong, and this is wrong. We have to build it. Mm-hmm. We have to build a better system.
292-8513, 292-8513, if you'd like to join our discussion on Open Line here on WOSU 820. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Fred Angeli. Again, our guests are Jenny Glover and Samuel Jackson, two former foster children who have aged out of the system. and Eileen McCaffrey from the Orphan Foundation of America, a group that helps kids age out of the foster care. It's not just college. Ohio has the Ohio Workforce Connection, which helps folks find jobs. Some foster kids don't want to go to college.
That's right. But everyone needs training.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to start talking to all young people about, is that being a lifelong learner and being prepared for the jobs of the future. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Not everyone needs college, and we're the first organization to say that.
Mm-hmm. What happens as far as – did you get any job training in your last year of foster care?
No.
No? No. Did you hear that it was available? Did you hear that –
They actually, like my sister, mm-hmm. who's a year and a half older than I am, is also in foster care. She was in a transitional living program, mm-hmm. and they were trying to get me into it, or I was trying to get into it, but I was nearing 18, and they didn't have to do anything for me after I turned 18, so they just shut it all down.
Mm-hmm. This was the family you were with? Or?
Yeah, Franklin yeah. County Children's Services.
So that you felt they could have done more for you as you approached 18?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a situation?
But Samuel wanted to go to college. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knew he wanted to go to college. And for those that want to go to college, they really, that should be their path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just what we need is a better assessment. We need to help young people build on strengths. Mm-hmm. And someone who goes to multiple schools and may not really want to sit in a college for 4 years. They may want to use their hands. So we have to embrace that strength and help them find a career.
Even though they go to different schools, the schools seem to be at least a point of stability in some cases.
It is the stability, not just a point, but it is.
What could the schools do to improve this aging out process? What could guidance counselors, teachers, administrators at a high school to say, okay, look, this child's in foster care, has been, or his or her life, most of the life?
I think first and foremost, one of the things that needs to happen is you need to relinquish your stereotypes of what students are going to turn out like because they've been in foster care. I had just as much potential to be successful as, someone sitting next to me who mm-hmm. had the quote-unquote normal life. Mm-hmm. Another thing about administrators in high school and so forth is, you need to be able to take advantage of your school counselor or school psychologist, but you can't do that unless they are educated on the resources that are out there and available to help. We do require a different level of empathy, but that's only because we want to be successful also. Mm-hmm. So they need to be educated.
Mike, I think that's a great question because they're two separate systems. Mm-hmm. And until they're better entwined, it will continue to be almost two paths. One of the big problems is when a young person, they may have to move for some reason, and then they leave the school district. So records are it takes days for records to catch up. The coursework may be different. They may, if they have an IEP, which means they may have some special ed needs, that may not follow, so the IEP has to start all over again. Every single time, the young person is it's a few steps back. So I think there's some real work to get school systems and to get the school system and the social services to work closer together to concurrently plan, and that will make a very big difference.
Seems like there are gaps.
Yes.
I mean, you have the foster families, and then there's varying degrees of involvement and support that you get there. There's the school counselors who are trying to help folks either find a work path or military path or college higher ed path. And then there's the county-based social service, children's services agency. There's big gaps between those three.
Yes.
What could be done? The Bar Association trying to put everything in writing to have a handbook, a guide through this? I mean, organizations like yours must be helping.
We are helping. There's a lot of momentum. Mm-hmm. I think there's a change afoot simply because it used to be acceptable, 18 and you're out. Mm-hmm. We used to have factory jobs kids could roll into. It was okay. Kids got along well enough. And now there is this huge awareness, and I think you're seeing systems come together. And I think Ohio is really working at that. While I'm not a big fan of Leave No Child Behind, there are some pieces in there that school districts could use to better serve homeless and very at-risk young people. And it's around assessments. So there's some new accountability in place that wasn't there that going forward may really change things.
The economy, you just mentioned that. There's no longer 18 and you're up, but you can get a job at the automotive plant down the street. That's not here anymore. It's tougher to find a job, a good paying job. I mean, there's plenty of fast food jobs and retail jobs that you're gonna make minimum wage. But
I think that's why Eileen stresses the fact that, you know, it is important to recognize that not everyone's dream is to go to college, mm-hmm. but that everyone needs additional training because those positions are not available. And what we don't want to see happen is the cycle continue with foster youth. You know, you come from this environment, and then you create that environment. So yeah. That is why the additional training is necessary. In some cases, college.
There's technical schools.
Yes.
I know that my high school was affiliated with the Career Center. That's really, really helpful.
Now, Sam, you're at Columbus State now.
Yes.
What kind of services are there? What are the colleges? Do they recognize the challenges that former foster kids face as they make this transition?
Well, I don't use any other services, but
you're on your own and you work it away.
It's a really small campus.
Yeah.
It's a community college. Uh-huh. So.
Jenny, did you find that the colleges were in tune with that, or are they really even more out of the loop than others?
I think they have the same ideal as most people. You know, you're 18 and you're an adult. And, you know, believe me, when I was 18, I had that in my mind, too. You know, I am an adult. Personally, I went to a very large college. I was never aware of any additional supports other than your average, you know, supports that people have, your RA, you know, that sort of thing. But in terms of supports for foster youth, mm-hmm. it was never even a factor. And as a matter of fact, the only time I was ever asked about being a ward of the state was on my federal financial aid form. Mm-hmm. And after that was signed and they figured out my, you know, estimated family contribution, it was over.
Yeah. So 292-8513, if you'd like to join in our discussion, 292-8513. We just have about 10 minutes left here with our panel. Jenny Glover, Samuel Jackson, two former foster children, and Eileen McCaffrey from the group The Orphan Foundation of America, based in Washington, D.C. This organization is dedicated to helping children age out of foster care successfully and get on the path that kids who, in quote, traditional families are on. Eileen, the number one thing that you would do to help kids who are aging out, what is the number one need right now from your group's perspective?
It is community. It's a lot more involvement from their community. Mm-hmm. It's quality mentoring, CASAs, you know, court-appointed special advocates. There's a role for everyone to play, mm-hmm. whether it's a coach. Get kids involved. Mm-hmm. Sign them up for things. Make sure they get to them.
Don't just assume because they're turning 18 that they're ready to go.
That's right. But all throughout high school, I mean, we can't separate secondary education mm-hmm. from this process of aging out. They should be better integrated into their own community while they're in high school, mm-hmm. so they start to develop that vision. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, you asked about the colleges, and are they aware of this special population? I am really happy to say they are. Mm-hmm. This is a very big step. In the last 3 to 5 years, the university systems and the various, and I'm not going to rattle off acronyms, mm-hmm. but groups have really, they've started tracks within conferences on how to serve foster youth. Community colleges across the country mm-hmm. are starting to realize that they have to recognize this unique population and take some special care with them. So we think that this is a big step forward.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Doris, you're on the air on WOSU 820.
Hi. I have a question for the youth regarding mm-hmm. a curriculum that was offered to them, and specifically if they had an opportunity to participate in some of the curriculum development to help them with self-sufficiency when they leave the foster care system, what would they add that they did not get?
I personally didn't participate in any of those developmental programs. I had no idea they existed. I think part of that is attributed to the fact that, you know, Eileen mentioned that it's a county-administered thing for foster youth. my county that I went to high school in very small, so I had no idea they even existed.
How about you, Samuel?
It was the same with me. Franklin County Children's Services, your only mouthpiece is the caseworker. So if she doesn't tell you anything, and she usually only talked about her family with me, she didn't tell me any of the programs. And my foster mom always would tell me, like, you know, be friends with her, talk with her, be warm with her, and I couldn't do that easily. So,
Doris, what experiences do you have? What in this area? How could the system be improved?
Who, me?
Yeah, do you have any ideas yourself?
Well, I always have ideas. Mm-hmm. I actually work in the system, and I had the opportunity to meet both of these young people yesterday, who were quite remarkable. And I think it's real important to make sure that we include youth voice when we look at developing curriculum. So mm-hmm. I think it's important to include the ideas that they have as we look at preparing them to be out there on their own and support them when they leave the system.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Doris. 292-8513, 292-8513. Let's go to Rebecca. Go ahead, Rebecca. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I was just calling because I just was listening in on the tail end here, and you had made kind of a disparaging comment about a fast food job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody, when they're first starting out in the workforce, whether or not you have a college education, probably if you have a college education, you're not going to need to start with a fast food job, although some people do. But I think the fact of the matter is everybody starts and ought to start down and work your way up. And I personally don't see anything wrong mm-hmm. with working at a fast food job for 6 months or a year and work your way up to management there and then move on to something else after that. So just because it may not be a $20 an hour factory job, of which you're all getting outsourced overseas and gone anyway, what is wrong with working one or two fast food jobs for 6 months or a year? That's what mm-hmm. I did when I was in college, to put myself through college, and it was a great experience.
Did you have a support network behind you, though?
I had my parents. I mm-hmm. sure did. But
I think that's the difference. These foster children, a lot of times, they're having to pay rent and food and everything else on $7 an hour.
And I understand that. Mm-hmm. I'm not. All I'm pointing out is, instead of talking about the negative things about having a fast food job, why not talk about some of the positives that can come out of it?
I don't think anybody focused necessarily on the negative aspects of having a job. I personally worked at McDonald's and Burger King throughout college to make ends meet. And was it my most favorite job? Absolutely not. I think the focus here of what we're trying to say is that, yes, you are very right in saying those are great starting places, and they are accessible to many young people. But we are pressing the need for additional training, whether it be college or some kind of, you know, technical school or something, because it opens up your window of opportunity, you know, to be able to use those as a starting block. I think when we were talking about the jobs, you know, transitioning right out of high school, we were saying most foster youth, you know, they were 18 and out, they got a factory job, and they were able to stay there.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
I understand, but those don't exist anymore. So there has to be other options.
Right, and we do take advantage of you know, fast food jobs. Like I said, I worked at both McDonald's and Burger King, and there was no shame, you know, for me. And I serve right now, so
that was my only point.
Oh,
yeah. I think sometimes there's too much emphasis on trying to go out with younger people, and I'm not necessarily talking about foster kids. I'm mm-hmm. talking about just younger people in general. And they think they ought to be starting out at, you know, $50,000 a year right off the bat. And sometimes it doesn't, many times it doesn't work out that way.
Okay. Thanks, Rebecca. Appreciate the
Thanks.
Call. 292-8513, 292-8513. Just a few minutes left here on WOSU 820. We're speaking about the aging out of foster care, the difficulties and challenges that kids who turn 18 face when they are no longer in the foster care system. Eileen, you want to talk about we were talking more about the salary level rather than the type of work, but I think these kids are asked at age 18 to support themselves, and I think that our point was that, you know, years ago you might be able to make a living wage at a factory, when now you have to work two fast food jobs or two retail jobs or two landscaping jobs
That's right. And they're not steady, and you don't have health insurance, and it's just not good enough. It's not good enough for us to say that that's our expectation. I mean, we need to open the doors. We need these young people. We need their talents. We need teachers. We need, you know, nurses. We need them to do what they want to do and will do well. It's just – it's a loss to us if they don't fulfill their promise. You know, I just want to say one thing before we close. One of the things Doris mentioned was youth involvement, and that's really making the difference. Ohio has organized across the state youth voices to make sure people see them as winners, to make sure they're counted as decisions are made about policy. And that's really making a big difference. It empowers them to envision their own future, and it makes services effective. If they tell us what they need, we can do it. But we need them to be involved.
Just a couple of minutes left. Samuel, you are at Columbus State. What are you studying, and what are your dreams?
Well, I'm trying to go into politics, so political science and journalism I can write really well. My dreams. my dreams is just to be me. I know I'm not trying to search for any type of thing. I'm just focusing on myself right now and to better myself. And because I know no one can be me just as quite as I can be me. So,
have you found you're stable now in your living situation and for the most part?
Yeah. Things are going great. I mean, ever since I hit it off with OFA, pretty much, yeah.
Okay. What advice would you have for a child who is aging out, who's perhaps in his, you know, or her senior year of high school coming up, and they're facing the same situation you have faced?
Find that network, that web of support to become a new extended family, whether it's OFA or some other third party. And realize that you're a unique son or daughter of God, and that and that you're blessed, and you matter. And
okay, Jenny, what are your plans?
My plans, I want to conquer the world. truly, I want to do what I can to make a difference. And being that, you know, that's one reason why I'm a teacher. So I feel like I have a unique perspective, and I want to help and save as many people as I can.
Your advice for someone in your position who was in your position or who's currently in the position you're in now, like senior high school starting out?
My advice would be first and foremost to never feel sorry for yourself and never let anyone else feel sorry for you. You were given these opportunities, whether it be positive or negative, for a reason, and let them mold you, embrace it, but know that tomorrow is going to be better if you choose to make it better.
And get that network of friends that you talked about and support group, whatever support you can get.
Doris mentioned always having three people in your back pocket, and I think that was an amazing thing when I met her yesterday. So,
Eileen McCaffrey from the Orphan Foundation of America, this is getting more attention. Do you expect more movement to offer more services to these kids?
We do. We do. People are seeing them as winners. There's opportunities for the average listener to get involved. They can visit our website, www.orphan.org. And there are big ways and small ways, but everybody can do something.
Okay. Our guests this hour have been Eileen McCaffrey, the Executive Director of the Orphan Foundation of America, Samuel Jackson, former foster care child, former foster child, and Jenny Glover, also a graduate of the foster care system, both doing very well here. Thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Fred Angeli. This has been Open Line on WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.